Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta and current chair of the Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's episode, we welcome Dr. Jen Bush, retired distinguished service professor of SUNY Oneonta in the Department of Human Ecology, focusing mainly in dietetics and nutrition. And this June 7th, 2025, we will induct her into our Athletic Hall of Fame. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So we're certainly first and foremost, on behalf of the Hall of Fame Committee, I'd like to congratulate you on this honor.
Oh my goodness. When I heard, I was really thrilled and somewhat surprised, honestly, because I was never a college athlete. So, I certainly enjoyed my 14 years as the FAR, and it was an eye-opening experience. I learned so much, but it was an interesting journey. Let's just say it that way.
Well, that's what I'd like to kind of go back to, the beginning of your career at Oneonta. You received your undergraduate degree from Oneonta. Then you were kind of away for a few years or whatever, and then you came back. So what about Oneonta attracted you to come
Right.
back?
Well, quite honestly, yes, I was an alum of the class of 83, and I never thought I would ever come back to Oneonta. I was a transfer student. I had a great experience, but you know how life goes. But my husband decided he wanted to go back into farming, and so we bought a dairy farm in West Edmiston, about 45 minutes from the college at the time. And I was a clinical dietitian and chief clinical dietitian, but I had been offered an opportunity to adjunct, and I really enjoyed it. And then when a position came open to be a lecturer, I applied. I didn't get it the first time, but I got it the second time, so that was great. And then I realized, I enjoyed it so much. And then I thought, oh my word, I'm going to have to go back and get my terminal degree if I want to continue as, in a tenure track line. And thank goodness my husband was incredibly supportive, and my two sons were as well. And it took me 5 years. I worked at Oneonta full time, and it took me 5 years part time at Syracuse to finish my PhD. And then I was able to get on a tenure track line. So I haven't dietetics, and it was certainly the degree that I earned. I think the thing that drew me back was the fact that, when I was there, I did not get an internship. And there was a program there that offered an online dietetic internship. We had talked about that. It certainly happened after I got there, but I was part of that initial group of faculty who worked on developing that program. So that was really exciting.
So why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because certainly you developed, the whole program online. You became the director and certainly have guided that through, the success that
Sure.
it had. So talk about the early stages of that.
Right. We all have mentors. So my mentor was Carolyn Hessek, Lapotin, and she actually had the brainstorm to be able to say, look, we have these students that are applying for internships, but they really can't leave home. They just don't have the monies, because in order to be a registered dietitian in this country, you have to do post-baccalaureate supervised practice. And that means that oftentimes you're moving to another place. And so the expense of that, plus not working for 9 months, is prohibitive. And there was many students that really couldn't do that. And so she thought about doing this online piece where, we could consider incorporating just a couple of graduate courses, but enfolded in that is was supervised practice, so that these students would be in hospitals and in agencies that were in their home community. So that we helped develop that, a core group of us, and we launched it in 2001. And then Carolyn retired in 2006. So I had had experience in the undergraduate program for just 2 years as a program director for our accrediting body. And so she said, I would really love it. I know that I could turn this baby over to you, and I could retire and, just be free and not worry. And that was a great feeling. And we're really dear friends to this day. In fact, I was just in Tucson to visit her. But I would say that I then realized that with the new standards, that we needed to consider expanding to a full master's. And that was back in 2006. There was a lot of pushback from educators. And then, my colleagues really and I talked about this, and we felt like we needed to push forward because even though they were pushing back, we saw what was going to happen in the future. We knew it was going to come. And sure enough, it did, but like almost 10 years later. So, but needless to say, it took us some time to develop the courses and get it approved through SUNY. That was about 2 years. And then in 2008, it was a full master's. And those were all online courses. And then the supervised practice, which was about 1,200 hours, was incorporated into that coursework. And so colleagues and myself taught those courses. And it ended up being more of an accelerated program where you started the program in the summer. So right after graduation, 2 weeks later, the program started. And then the following May, you graduated. So initially, students in the program were non-traditional students and were from all over the country. And then more and more of our own students started to apply. So no sooner did they finish their undergraduate, but then 2 weeks later they start their graduate. So in 1 more year they were able to graduate with their master's. And then in 2000, I think, I'm trying to remember when, prior to and maybe it was a little bit later than, in order to sit to take the RD exam. But our students got rave reviews in terms of how well they were prepared for their jobs. And it was a very successful model. So, but a lot of work, as you can imagine, because you have to work with dietitians in the area where these students live and help them get preceptors. So and it was building all those relationships. But again, these are colleagues in your field, and you're hoping that because somebody helped them, that they would be willing to help students. And you wanted to be sure that you're sending out top students because you wanted them to be a great example of a SUNY Oneonta student. And they were. And so we had very few issues in the program. And we've had wonderful preceptors that were so willing to help these students. And truthfully, so many of these students, at least half of them, ended up working in the place where they were doing their supervised practice hours. So it was a great recruitment tool for these hospitals too. But then it's interesting as time went on, more and more of our students wanted to be entrepreneurial, so create their own businesses. So it's amazing to see what they've actually accomplished.
So really it comes down to your involvement with students, and I think that's how you found your way over to the athletic department and being able to kind of transition into a different kind of a role as a, as a faculty mentor and, involved in that program.
Sure.
So talk us a little bit about, why did you want to be involved with athletics?
Sure. I think initially, Tracy Ranieri, the former athletics director, approached me about doing a nutrition project. It was a grant. And I always felt it was important to give our undergraduate dietetic students experience. And so I thought this was a perfect opportunity for them to be able to work with athletes. But then, Tracy's very persuasive and I was passionate, and it was a good combination and it was a great grant and I enjoyed it immensely. And then in 2010, she came back and said, I would really love it if you would consider being the FAR. I didn't even know what a FAR was. And then when I looked at the job description, I said, oh my word, holy smokes, this is really overwhelming. And her response to me was, I'd like you to make this job, again, this opportunity, I want you to think about what will work for you. Let's just take a year and explore all of the different components of it. And then we can figure out where the priorities are, what the needs of the athletics department, and then, what skills you have. And, let's just see where this goes. And I, really appreciated that approach because the first year I got to know coaches. I got to meet, the student athletes. And then go to SAC and, again, go to the FAR meetings and work with my other colleagues in the SUNYAC. And what I've really realized over time is that I had incredible support from the athletics department, all the way down to coaches, and the student athletes were so respectful. And I thought, I can see myself as really advocate, because athletes were academically. I mean, I think if you look at the mission of the athletics department, I think the students really truly represented that mission. But as you can, imagine, certainly there was a number of students that were just not ready to be in a college environment, and maybe they didn't have the skill set or weren't well prepared. And so there was a lot of work to kind of help them and boost them and support them. And that was really gratifying to be able to do that, or to be able to kind of meet with student athletes either as a team or individually and kind of help them because they were very intimidated by the faculty. And I get that because there are some faculty that are very intimidating, but also they just didn't really have a way to be able to approach them in a way that was comfortable. There was a lot of anxiety. So I did a lot of coaching about how to approach a faculty, what things to say, what to ask, and then to help them be really responsible for their academic journey. And I think that's the most important thing. To be honest, I think what I'm most proud about, Jeff, is the academic game plan that I created with a lot of input from coaches, and certainly athletes themselves. And it really, I mean, it was just a tool to have a conversation and an accountability piece, right? And I think that was really illuminating because as a part of that academic game plan, there was these boxes to check about what were some of the challenges or barriers that you found if you were not getting at least a 3.0 GPA or better. And ultimately, it's time management. It was absolutely time management that was the biggest piece of it. And I have to tell you that I really was so impressed by a number of the coaches and the way that they would help those students manage their time. I mean, literally, have them get out their planners, and help them put in all of their courses, right? And make sure that they knew when they were meeting and, scheduling your lunch and, just make sure your study hours and a number of coaches had study tables and they went to the library. I mean, a lot of real support. And I guess the thing that impressed me was, when you look at the D3 philosophy, it's about putting academics first. And that really probably was central to why I agreed, because I thought, you know what, we just have to be sure that that's the message that we're sending. And I have to be honest that that was something that I saw consistently over the 14 years that I was a FAR, that that was what came first. And I appreciate that because it made it easier to talk to faculty and advocate for students when things weren't going well.
So obviously, you did spend, that many years as well on Intercollegiate Athletic Board, or, with other faculty members and staff and people from the campus. So did you see yourself as like, this big collaborator trying to get people to buy in, and so you could take your message to the faculty?
It was pretty easy because there was faculty mentors that had been assigned to each of the teams. And what was really neat about that was that they were chosen by the actual student athletes on that team. And so they already had a relationship with that faculty member. So that was great as well, because it wasn't just about me, it was all these other faculty that I could go to if I was working with a particular student athlete on a particular team. And of course, the coaches were always great about reaching out and could you help, or what do you think about this, or this faculty member. And it certainly got easier over time because I knew all the faculty, right? And knew all the coaches really well. And I know the administration, so it was very easy to navigate. But it honestly, at the beginning, quite truthfully, very overwhelming, because I thought, oh my word, there's a lot of balls in the air here. I would say that having those faculty mentors was huge.
So why do you, I was going to say, like, why do you think it was so important to develop and grow this faculty mentor program?
Well, and I would just say probably more important than that, because the faculty mentor program was already in place, was making sure there was a good fit, right? That the faculty mentors who were assigned to that team really had a good sense of what they needed to do. And again, every faculty mentor had a different focus. But what was most important is that they had a relationship with the student athletes on that team, right? And I found myself really being more of the academic piece, and kept reinforcing to student athletes, I'm not replacing your academic advisor, right? And inevitably, when we go through, we started to do orientation and they included me in orientation, I would say to the students, if you look on your degree sheet, right, you're going to be able to find out who your advisor is, and you should know it. And if you don't know it by the third or fourth week of the semester, then you need to be asking, right? And then how to kind of work through how to make sure that you're on top of your grades. The idea that, if you're not getting grades, if you're not getting, I need to know that. So I would say to student athletes, reach out to me, reach out to your coach. If you got to the midterm and you're getting midterm grades, but you didn't get anything back graded, that doesn't set well with me, because you really should. I mean, education is all about giving you the opportunity, right, to have feedback, constructive criticism, and be able to improve. But if you're not getting any feedback from faculty, then we really need to know that. And there are very specific requirements the faculty have that come out of the provost's office about making sure that they have a syllabus. And so it was really important for me to work with students to understand, how to read a syllabus and what to know, because that's a contract between a student and the faculty. And so I would say to the students, this is what you're being held to. You need to read those and make sure you understand what it is that you're is expected of you over the semester. And I think that was a message that we were able to get across at orientation. And we also talked about being present in the classroom and, making sure you get there. And, if you are and sit in the front, I mean, that was always the most important thing. Don't be in the back, because research shows that if you sit in the back of that classroom, you're going to be a C student, because you're just not right where you need to be. But being able to say to students, listen, you really have to make sure you get to know your faculty. They know, be flexible with you if you're an A student, and they know you and they know your character, right? As compared to somebody that they don't know, that doesn't show up, and then you want some exceptions. And so, we really try to work with students to absolutely avoid being in those very difficult situations.
So, we talked about the academic game plan, you think is a proud moment for yourself and the development of that. Are there some other, programming or things that you did on campus or, with, us in the athletic department that you think that, were pretty highlight things for you?
I would say that being the advisor for the Nutrition Performance Club, that was something that I initiated with really there was a handful of students at the beginning of that just said we should make this a club. And we had the Food and Nutrition Association, but they wanted a separate club. And I was like, Do we think we really need to do that? Because, we can do this more informally, but they were adamant and they wanted to create a website and they wanted to create education materials and they want to do some programming and they did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was the biggest challenges, as you well know, that in the college environment, you have these really highly motivated juniors and seniors. But you got to train the freshmen and sophomores, or you're not going to be able to keep this going.
Right.
We had some years that we had to really work a little harder than some. But I think some of the materials that came out, and it was great for me to be able to look at some of these materials and say, we have to be accurate. We have to be sure that these are professional. We can't say that because nutrition, I mean, it really, when you think about it in this country with the supplement industry is a $1 billion industry. And
Right.
so you, if you as an educated dietetics major can't work through what is misinformation, how are you going to expect other people to, right?
Right.
So that was some real opportunity to be able to say, nope, can't really say it that way. Let's reframe this. What can we say? What does the research say? And I said, the supplements are, it's challenging because there's a lot of great advertisement out there, but let's be clear. I think the area that we really worked so hard on was, again, that whole idea of how important nutrition is in performance of athletes and making sure that we kind of work through a lot of misinformation,
Yeah.
about what students, athletes should eat or not eat. I think about field and track and field and thinking about some of the misinformation that's out there about what, and that seemed to be more of an area of concern. The other the and certainly part of it has to do with more what's the word I want to say? They have a very specific routines of what they eat and when they eat and all of that so that they can have their best performance. And I got that. And so that was really insightful to be able to kind of see where the student athlete was coming from so we could work with them. Because again, you got to meet them where they are and you can't, we never prescribe these meal plans because people don't do that. People are going to eat the way they're going to eat. So I think the other thing area that was of a great concern, because we know what the research shows at the higher risk for disordered eating. And so we really kind of looked at that much more closely and addressed that. And I had the opportunity to work with, a number of students one-on-one because I, work with dining services and we worked hand in hand to help those students navigate through the dining hall. And that was true for all student athletes. We didn't have training tables per se because we were not a D1 school, but we took the opportunity to be able to really highlight for student athletes, all of the variety of food that was there and how to eat to the best of their ability to really, increase their performance. And I would say, over the time that I was the FAR, what I consistently saw was that, women athletes tend to undereat. I mean, that was really kind of interesting to me. But yeah, it was, you would think, gosh, you would feel good about me because you've exercised, you burned all these calories that. But no, I mean, to the point where they were just going behind the eight ball here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that we always appreciated the Nutrition for Performance Club. They were involved in a lot of things we did, especially during our Division III week. And they always,
Yes.
it was always, I think it was one of the things that the student athletes looked forward to.
Right. Yes. And they did some really creative things there with games and prizes and incentives, and it just was a lot of fun. It just was a lot of fun because I was really clear to the students in the club, listen, you're not going to stand behind a table with pamphlets. It's not going to happen. So you better need to think about how you're going to interact with students. And they just rose to the challenge. I mean, they had better ideas probably than I could have come up with. But it was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun.
Well, certainly very helpful to all of us. So as we kind of get along here, is there anybody within the campus community that you'd maybe like to thank for kind of getting you here, or what your enjoyment, or your being involved with athletics?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think, Tracy Ranieri reaching out to me and saying, I really want you to think about this, and that was the start of it, truthfully. And I would just say, all the coaches that made me feel so welcome. There was not one coach that was not willing to sit down or to, I mean, they couldn't do enough for me. I mean, I think that was the most important thing, and so respectful. And Ryan Hooper, who's terrific. I mean, I think just always willing to, certainly very thankful for anything that I did, but was always willing to hear what I had to say or ideas, and to take them very seriously. I think certainly the IAB, I mean, they were a great group of people, and that was so enjoyable to get to know. And for me, when you're a faculty member and you're in your own little department and you have a building, what I really appreciated was getting outside and spending time with people that were not, faculty, right? So getting outside the academic piece and being able to work with student athletes. And also, oftentimes my interaction with students was from a teaching perspective, right? Or an academic advisor, but not a lot outside the classroom. And so student athletes gave me a real opportunity to get to know them outside the classroom. So it was, to me, a really fun part of my job, to be honest with you, and I was fortunate enough to have the support of the college and the president's office, and they were all incredibly supportive of the FAR position, and I was able to have time. I had a course release to be able to do that for the year, which really definitely helped me be able to do and be more involved. And so I was incredibly grateful for that support. The fact that I could go to NCAA, right? I mean, that was really so enlightening. I mean, I learned so much, and I don't know the half of it. So, but it was great to be able to collaborate with other FARs. And what I really came away with, Jeff, honestly, was that I was so fortunate because, first of all, I didn't see the FAR role as adversarial. And so for some FARs, they were more about checking up on athletics and making sure they were doing, and it seemed like it was more of a negative approach. And I thought, oh my word, I certainly do not want, especially when it came to compliance. And I would honestly say that SUNY Oneonta has their handle on compliance. I mean, I think they absolutely, take it very seriously. And certainly you're going to have some things that come up, but very transparent. And I always appreciated that. And things that are that were easily fixed. And oftentimes they would make them set that into the next programming, that they would make sure that that information got into the programming so the student athletes could hear it and coaches as well. But I just really felt like, it was such a wonderful group of people to work with. And like I said, it was just I really found that it was incredibly supportive. And so that makes your job really easy to me, because they appreciated the nutrition piece that I had to offer, and they really appreciated the insight in terms of the academics and how to really help students do well. And we track academic performance, and truthfully, when you look at the student athletes, the majority of them have a 3.0 or better. It was always a handful of students that you had to kind of shore up And oftentimes, like I said, they didn't know how to manage their time well, you know, and or maybe they weren't in the right major. And so we also saw study skills that were really poor, test-taking skills. And, you know, I think they've done tremendous amount of work with students through the college to help them with those sorts of skills. And I think that's always been a really positive thing that if, you know, we didn't kind of reinvent resources, you always looked across the campus to find resources that were already there, and they were. So it was just a matter of kind of connecting students to what resources were available and then holding them accountable.
Right. Well, I certainly, I mean, when I was in athletics and I got a chance to, work on committees with you and be around you, I mean, we over in athletics, we just can't say enough about what you did for us and how you helped all of us. So we want to thank you. Yeah. I mean, so that was just a
Well,
great.
and like I said, thank you for that. But like I said, it was really easy when I saw how much hard work and effort all of the coaches and the administration put into the job. I mean, right? So you're just with people that are performing at really high levels, and you know, you just why wouldn't you want to help people who are really doing such a great job and who are supporting the student athletes like they were, right? So, and like I said, I met some great athletes and worked with some really challenging ones. But again, I think, you know, it was rewarding to be able to see them make some huge improvements and turn the corner. And you know, unfortunately, there was always a few that you know, just really needed to leave the college and then have a restart. And that sometimes is what you need to do. I think the idea that if you take away the struggle of a student, that's not always in their best interest because you learn the most when you have to work the hardest, right?
That's right.
So, but you certainly need to support them through that
Yep.
process as well. But yes, I
I
feel like
think.
I'm incredibly honored, you know, with this recognition, and I'm really looking forward to June 7th.
Well, and we are as well. And for me, we are definitely looking forward to having you back and celebrating, your impact. Within the athletic department and just on the campus in general. I mean, you did so much more than, than most people, I think would. So we're gonna enjoy celebrating you on June
Well,
7th.
thank you. And I have to say, remember, yes.
So yeah, so listen, we look
I was
forward
going to say,
to
I just want to give one. Absolutely. And one more shout out to Dr. Kelly Martin because she took over my position. And so I got to retire. And I really feel wonderful about where the program is and her hands. And so I really feel very, very grateful for that.
Legacy, right?
Yes.
Well, Jen, we're going to see you in a few months. June 7th is going to get here pretty quickly. So, once again, congratulations, and we look forward to seeing you on June 7th.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thanks for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity.